welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We are giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we come your way Sundays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., streaming live at those times at richarddugan.com. And we put the podcast at the radio show's page of richarddugan.com, as well as on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher. Working on some other possibilities here, but we're getting there. It's been 11 years, and I'm slightly behind the eight ball technologically, but as far as our guests, not by a long shot. We also encourage you to go to our guest website. We'll be giving you that email that web address shortly, so you can go to our guest website and find out more about what they are all about. We also encourage you to. If you can, we gratefully appreciate any support that you can give us here on the program. We have a PayPal link on the homepage as well as on the missions page. If this is the first time you've heard this broadcast, we encourage you to go to the missions page at richarddugan.com and read about what we are all about here on Tell Me Your Story. Been doing this for over 11 years, and we hope that you will join us in the work that we're doing. If you like it, if it resonates with you and you can support us, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So grateful for the support we've gotten up to this point and for support that we will be getting in the future. So I thank you for your contributions. Hey, we'll take energetic support as well. So we're here for you. We are here for our guest as well. We're going to be talking about life, how important it is. As a matter of fact, I've got a little something I'd like you to listen to.
The phrases and quotes. Life is so precious. I have enough courage, confidence, and the faith to say, I refuse to lose and accept defeat. Life is hopeful, delightful, beautiful, incredible, lovable, teachable, joyful, powerful, faithful, enjoyable, reachable, gentle, passionate, encouraging, exciting, romantic, unlimited, positive, glorious, compassionate, tender, full of liberty, inspirational, motivational, kind, precious, adventurous, full of happiness, strong, firm, full of surprises, holy, amazing, and ordained by God.
And I hope my guest does not mind my taking liberties with that. Tried to do it verbatim, and it's from the book, Life is So Precious. Alton E. Pete is my guest, and the subtitle, Believe Your Impossible is Possible. And Alton, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on this program at this time. Very special broadcast today, and I hope that our listeners will see that that's there. And thanks for being with us here on the program.
Yes, thanks for having me.
This is a story that, a lot of folks are not, I don't know that they're not familiar. They've heard these kinds of things over and over again from different people trying to encourage, which is what we're all about, trying to encourage people to move forward, to fulfill their dreams, to find their dreams for that matter. And you've written this beautiful little book called Life is Precious. And I have to say that every time I hear news of anybody in this world losing their life for any reason or getting derailed, I just think, my gosh, what lost potential. What kind of a contribution could this person have made to this world and to our lives? How much further along would we be today if that person were still with us, or if that person had found their life's purpose and they hadn't gotten derailed? You are retired Army, correct?
That is correct. 26 years and 4 months of dedicated and faithful services to our country.
Now, that's one area, too, that I'm so frustrated with. And of course, this has nothing to do with the reasons why people serve or the reasons why the government asks them people to serve. But it's more along the lines, like I said, when I hear about the loss of life, if you weren't here today, we wouldn't have this book. We wouldn't have Life is Precious. We wouldn't have the inspirational and motivational work and conversation that we're about to have. And so many people would miss out on all of that. Talk to us about that. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I wrote the book because I feel a great need to reach this whole entire world, our country, but around the world, because being in the military, I've seen the world. I've been close to 10 countries. So I see a need that a lot of people are just missing out on as far as the value of life. And it just really inspired me to write those beautiful words to let people know how so precious their life is and how valuable they are and how extraordinary they are. And sometimes people need to hear that because words are very powerful. They can either break you or they can make you or even take your life. So we have to say positive words that's going to stir up some good things within somebody's heart and soul. And with me seeing the way the conditions of the world today, we are in great need of some encouraging words because a lot of people have given up the hope. And you can just see it even in people's expressions and their faith. You can see that they have given up on hope. So because I am a people person and I love everybody, and it doesn't matter where you're from and who you are, I like to encourage everybody because if I can go through a loss of a mother and a sister and a father walk away from us, you know, when we lost my mother 23 years ago, if I'm able to persevere through that story, anybody can make it. I mean, anybody can make it. So life is so precious, and it's just a reminder that you matter, and that's for everyone. You do matter, and you're a valuable asset to this world.
Let me ask where this need, this desire, this, if you will, purpose for your life as we are conversing today. Where did that start? What was the catalyst? Was there a given moment, or has this just been, if you will, from birth? Has this just been part of your life?
I want to say that it's always been in me from growing up as a little boy, being the oldest of four. I've just always been the most responsible and the most reliable one in my family. And it just sometimes it just falls on there. Like in every family, that's always the main one that's going to gather everybody together and keep us on the straight and narrow path. There's always one in the family, maybe two. So, I mean, I can say it's probably just from birth, but you really don't know how important it is until you have a little experience, until something comes your direction to where you know this is where you need to be. And most of the time, God will tell us where we need to be and where we need to go. And it's not to destroy us, or it's not to alter your life, but it's actually to help somebody else to make it, because we ought to work with our own hands to give to those that are in need. So even if you think you got it made in the shade, you still got to help out your brothers and your sisters.
That is true. We actually use the analogy of a ladder, and we are all walking up this ladder, and there's someone above us and someone below us, and the purpose of the person above us, in a manner of speaking, is to put their hand down to help us up, and in turn, we reach down with the other hand to help the other person up.
And, exactly.
And that's why we're here, in a manner of speaking. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we're here.
Yep, exactly.
When you decided to write this book, Life is Precious, what was the impetus there? What was the catalyst there?
It was just I had retired from the Army, and I was thinking in 2014, what else could I do to make a major impact on our world and our people everywhere we go? You know, we see so many people that are just disgruntled and just kind of just lost out there like a ship without a sail. And it just came to me, you know, when I lost my mother, I didn't know I was writing and saying things that made a lot of sense. And I noticed that people just gravitate towards me. I've always experienced that in my life throughout the military. So when I retired from the Army, it just came to me to write a book. So, you know, for everyone that's out there today, you need to know that you have a gift. Everybody has a gift, just like the stars that come out at night. There are so many that only God can count them and name them. But that's how mankind are on earth. Everybody has a purpose and a gift. And my gift was writing. One of my gifts was writing. So that's what gave me the inspiration, and I was feeling compelled to write a beautiful story to lift as many as I can on this earth today to just lift them. And that's how the book came about.
You also have some very nice photographs in the book as well. Where was your main service in the Army? I guess maybe I should rephrase that, because you may have been stationed at a base here in the States. But when you were, let's say, deployed, where were you deployed where you were actually put in harm's way?
Oh, yeah. No matter where you are in Iraq, you're going to be in harm's way. Our mission was to turn the facility over of Abu Ghraib prison, one of Saddam's prisons. Our mission was to close the facility down and to turn it back over to the Iraqis. And, I mean, we were, it was one of the most dangerous missions in Iraq. And we got attacked like 6 to 7 times every month. Every month. I mean, it didn't matter what day it was, what time of the night, we were under attack. And you have to always be vigilant, always be alert, and you just have to watch out for all your comrades, making sure everyone was okay. So that was a tough mission. And until this day, I still have nightmares, because when you're in that type of environment, that hostile environment, it does something to your mind. And it's something that you just never forget, because it's traumatic. So it's just the grace of God that I still have my mind today, and my right mind, my health and my strength, and activities of my limbs. So it's just the grace of God that I'm talking to you today.
Now, what was it that propelled you into the military? What was it that spoke to you and said, I need to go serve. I need to do this. Was there a particular event? I mean, you know, you retired what, in 2014?
2014, yes.
Yeah.
And I joined the Army June 26, 1987. I had spoke with a recruiter, and the recruiter actually took me under his wing, and he kind of gave me an insight scoop on what the military was like. And, you know, being from the Bay Area, there's really not much, even like today, there's really not much out there for everyone to do that's going to give them a edge on life and a good head start. So the military, that was one of my best options. I was into basketball, and I was very good. I thought I was going to be into the NBA, but I'm only 6 feet. So I
a little short,
taller. Yeah, a little short, but I play big. You know,
you wouldn't think that would be short for the NBA, but that's short.
Yeah, that's short.
it's almost a Spud Webb, I think.
Right. So you know, I had to think of something else to be a great asset to our country and to my life and my family. So I ended up joining the military, and that's one of the best decisions I could have ever made, because I wouldn't have ever saw the world and see how everything evolves had I not joined the Army. And I wouldn't have met all the beautiful people. You know, I've met so many soldiers and just civilians and thousands of people. And, I mean, it was a unique situation for myself, so I'm glad I made that decision.
In spite of the fact that you were the target of a lot of other people,
right.
I know it wasn't you personally. They said, "Hey, let's get Alton today." You know, you were. It was the group that you chose to hang out with that drew all the attention. And in spite of that, you still feel that. And I'm curious as to why. I mean, I know there's that element of patriotism and so forth. But I'm sure that even back in 87, and by the way, you joined up on my 27th birthday, so there you go. I don't know what that means.
Wow.
But, you know, I take a look, sadly, at the veterans who have returned from the various conflicts, even going back to World War II, of those who are left, And obviously, we see in the news every day about how our government just doesn't seem to care for its soldiers who went out and did the dirty work that they were asked to do. And I know a lot of us are very frustrated over that. It's like, why would you ask this man or woman to go into harm's way when they return, you turn your back on them?
Yeah, I do understand the concern there. And unfortunately, it's just the way the rules and regulations are written.
Yeah.
What we're seeing is, like, I'm retired.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I get the best service provided. And that's the issue. If you're not retired or if you don't remain active duty, once you go to reserve status, and I've noticed this myself, it's almost like you're forgotten about, because reserve status is not the same as active duty status.
Mm-hmm.
So you get more, you know, you get more perks and more services provided being active duty into being retired.
Right.
So our issue is that how do you support the ones who are not retired and who are going back to reserve to civilian status? And there are some facilities and programs out there that and systems in place to help. As a matter of fact, they have to extend it to Congress because so many soldiers were messed up coming back and forth from Afghanistan and Iraq, so they have to extend these services. But it is out there, and we that are making it and that are still level-headed, we need to go out and reach them. Because when you come back from war, it does mess you up. It puts you in an isolated position, and you just kind of feel like nobody cares. Because going to war and then switching back to civilian or coming back home from the state to the state, you're completely different.
Mm-hmm.
You're different. Everything else is different. Because war is it's rough in war. War is not easy.
Well, as the phrase goes, war is hell. You know?
And
I guess, and I want to let our listeners know that we have an interview up on our website about a movie, a documentary that came out several years ago called The Welcome. And in speaking with the producer of this movie, he was documenting this program that was set up for specifically Vietnam vets, but not exclusively. But one of the comments that he made during the interview was this. He says that, yes, the war veterans, they need all kinds of help, but they're not the ones who need a shift, an attitude shift, if you will. It's the civilian population that needs the attitude shift. You have to set aside the conflict they were in. You have to set aside the politics of all of that. And you have to embrace this individual who is a member of our society, who is not only a human being, they're an American. You have to embrace that part in order to be able to make that shift, to be inclusive of them. And as you expressed, right, that's probably one of the biggest problems is when you come back, you're so messed up that, you know what, Alton, I really don't, no, you're a little whacked out. I don't want to have anything to do with you. You stay over there.
Right. And one of the things is also families have to really, really be involved, because that's how you're going to learn what it's like to deal with the military personnel who have gone to war. Because on civilians, they really don't know how to handle it. So I think it's important and it's imperative that people get involved with programs that support the military so you can fully understand what everyone is experiencing
and
once
I guess,
they come back home.
Yeah. And the other problem, too, is that I, as a civilian, I don't know how to help you. I don't have any training, you know. And so I think that's part of maybe what the fear is about on the part of the civilian population, is that because we don't understand, we don't know what you've been through, you know, and because of what we have seen in the media and what have you, it's like we don't want to know.
Yeah, but it still kind of helps the service member when the family understand. You know, just like Veterans Day is coming up, and one of my biggest issues is my immediate family, they don't understand the sacrifice we put on for our lives, for our country. They don't understand that. So to hear those words, Happy Veterans Day, it matters a lot because it shows that you really care about the sacrifice we made. Whereas my family, I have to help them to understand, and it kind of it bothers me that they don't. And I don't know why. Maybe it's nothing that, you know, they have an interest in.
Mm-hmm.
But it does kind of bother me because that's a big deal to me.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, you're not alone. And I've done a little bit of research in the history of this country in particular, but of other countries around the world over the centuries. And unfortunately, the lack of understanding and inclusion by the civilian population in this country has been going on since the Revolutionary War. For whatever reason, even back in the early 1800s, they just weren't acknowledged. Whereas in other parts of the world over the centuries, when they've gone to battle and the war, the soldiers come back from conflict, win or lose, the tribe, if you will, the community embraced them. They honored them. They showered them with thanks, win or lose. Because they came home, they did their part, they did the best they could, you know, and at least their home and some of their other loved ones didn't make it, and so on and so forth. So it's an interesting dichotomy that we have in this country. And again, I don't know about the history per se specifically of, say, Europe and some of the other European countries or Africa or Asia or what have you, the other continents. But just in general, from what I have read and talked with people about, it's kind of an unfortunate, maybe more modern day, shall we say, phenomenon. And, you know, and we called him Uncle Joey in my family. He wasn't really an uncle, but he was just a close family friend. And I remember when he went off to the Vietnam War back in the late 60s, early 70s. And if I'm remembering correctly, he didn't return. And I wasn't that close to him. But, you know, I don't have that. I don't believe I have that many military members in my family on my mother's or father's side. But at the same time, you know, we've done radio programs over the years. I've produced a couple of Veterans Day shows where I was very proud of what we accomplished on one Veterans Day back in 1999. Back in Phoenix, with the host and his interviewing of the congressmen and war veterans and so on and so forth. I mean, it was a spectacular program because it was focusing on the commitment that you and others have made. This was a choice you made. Agree or disagree with it, you made this choice, and you know, and here we are today. And you're retired Army. And you've served your country, and you also participated in something that I have to say I wish more of us would go through, and that is, I would like you to speak to this, that level of community, and it's even deeper than that, because I want to use the word intimacy, that you develop with your fellow soldiers, especially, most especially, in the midst of combat. And of course the phrase no soldiers left behind, and right. That you've all got each other's back, or you're each other's sixes. That's something I wish that we could instill in the hearts and minds of our fellow citizens, our civilian population, that kind of family. You have two families. You have a military family and obviously a blood family.
Right. And I tell you, it's kind of unbelievable how you can become so closer to your military family than you become to your biological family. And that is something that I've been experiencing since I've been retired, because I spent so much time with my military family. They know me more than my own family, because when you're away from home, of course, you change. And you're just not as close as you are with your biological family. And that's why a lot of military personnel have a hard time coming around family as much as they could, because the closeness and the bond is not there. And how do you redevelop it? You know, how do you start it over again? So that's just something that we have to work with every day. But we are closer to our military personnel family than we are anybody else.
You know, I have to wonder maybe if when it comes to your blood family, maybe there's a challenge for them to try to understand why that is. And I mean, we'll look, because when we look at natural disasters like in this country, what does that do to the population? It galvanizes us. We are right. going to step into a situation to do whatever we can, if we can, to help others who have suffered loss of whatever kind. Whereas in normal day-to-day times when you don't have a natural disaster, you know, you just kind of go about your business and you honk your horn at the guy who just cut you off and so forth. Whereas if there was a natural disaster, the guy that you honked your horn at who cut you off, he's trapped in a building, he's suffered loss of his home due to fire or flood or whatever the case might be, and you're going to lift a finger and then some to help them out, you know, give them some kind of support. And in a way, it's unfortunate that we have to wait for those kinds of things to happen. But
I know it, huh?
What about your personal faith and how that has changed prior to entering the military and then after getting out and retiring? How has that changed?
Well, my faith has increased even more. I just feel like I could do anything, and there is nothing that I can't do. And that's why, you know, I write a couple of scenarios in my book, Life is So Precious, to let everyone know that it works internal. If you don't believe in your mind, heart, and soul, nobody else is going to believe in you as well. So it starts with you. And then it also brings happiness and courage and confidence, knowing that you're able to achieve anything you put your mind to. So it works internal, and that's for everyone. Because if you're not feeling good on the inside, your outside external is going to be messed up. So it has to be an even balance. So my faith is really, really strong. And in order to get strong faith, you got to go through some things. Faith is uncomfortable. Faith doesn't always feel good, but it's good to have. So you're going to have to go through some things to be able to hold on to the faith. And when the sun is shining, anybody can have faith. But what about when it's raining and storming outside? Where's your faith at then? So you got to have faith in all seasons. It's not supposed to dissipate. It's supposed to increase. So as a reminder, I have to let everyone know that you got to keep the faith. You got to still believe in yourself, even when it looks like it ain't going to work. And when it feels like it ain't going to happen, you still got to keep that faith. So my faith is very strong. I mean, very, very strong. And I believe I got that from my mother, because she was very strong in faith. And it just resonated with me, and I'm glad it did.
Talk to us about what you are starting to share with us about the matriarchal setup within your family, because you make reference to, and I'm going to let you describe this, you make reference to a queen within your family.
Well, I will say that I feel myself as a king. Everybody is a king and a queen, you know, regardless. Even our women. Our women every day are queens. They're queens every single day, including weekend. And you have to think yourself as a strong individual who's just trying to make it with confidence. Not to be overconfident, but just to be strong enough to where you just can see your way getting through the end of your tunnel. Because there's always going to be a light. And with me being the oldest, I've always had that over my shoulders like that, as far as being the main one that's going to lead us out of a tough situation. I mean, it's, no matter where I've gone and how long it's been, even now, it follows you around like a shadow. So maybe that's another part of my gift, as far as galvanizing people and keeping us close together. Something that I'm never going to lose. And then it's the personality. You know, my personality is a good one, because I know how to relate to people at all ages, kids, our youth, people my age at 51 and even older. I know how to relate to people like that because of my experience.
When we come back, I want to talk more about this and, of course, about this wonderful little book that people can pick up. It's called Life is So Precious. Believe Your Impossible is Possible. Alton E. Pete is my guest. And Alton, what is the website that you want to send people to? And we will link to it as well so that they can get more information and maybe get in touch with you as well.
Yes, you can go to my website, Alton Eugene Pete. It's my first, middle, and last name.com. And it'll give you all the information you need to know about me. I'm also going to be working on an additional website as the time progresses. But right now, you can look up AltonEugenePete.com.
All right. Very good. Well, we want you to stay with us, folks. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, and we're talking with Alton E. Pete. And again, that website is AltonEugenePete.com. The book, again, Life is So Precious. Stay tuned.
Tell me your story.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story. We're talking with Alton Pete, and he is the author of Life is So Precious, the website AltonEugenePete.com. And we encourage you to go to that website. And we, again, as I said, we will be linked to it so that you can get more information and follow along with him in his retirement days. You know, it's really interesting how we... We're trying as a society in this country, but around the world, Alton, to make this better, make this world a better place.
Right.
And it seems as though at one level, we're not doing such a great job. What's your perspective?
I will agree. There's always room for improvement and changes. And that we all are in this together. And I will say that we're missing love. Love heals. Okay. Love and understanding really heals.
Say that again. Say that again.
I said love heals.
There you
I mean,
go.
Love and understanding, it heals. And it reaches everybody. Love reaches everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. I mean, love is for everybody. Mm. It's not just for a few people. But love is for everyone, and we're missing it in our world today. You know, love is meant for everybody. It's meant for us. It's meant for us to have and to share and to experience. And you would be surprised how many people would be more successful if we showed more love and displayed more love towards one another. Because love is a powerful word. It's an action. It can be used as a noun. I mean. Yeah, it's a very powerful verb, and we need to demonstrate it more and more each day. And that's what I try to do, you know, when I go out and feed the homeless. I'm showing love, and I'm showing people that I care, because I really do. I really care. And if we can just have more people do that today, and we will see more smiles, more happier people, you know, just getting along like we used to back in the day when we were growing up, you know, and those days have come back. I mean, we're in a tough moment right now, and that's why I was saying about faith. Right now, everything is uncomfortable, but it will become comfortable again. It will happen again because everything repeats itself. There's nothing new under the sun.
Well, I know that a lot of people are under the impression, maybe rightly so, I don't know, that when we in this country in particular, when we have an election, we get to change things.
Right.
The only caveat to that is we're never sure just exactly how we're changing it, because there are so many different viewpoints, divergent in many cases.
Right.
And some people are wondering if we're even going in the right direction sometimes. And I'm not talking specifically today, this month, this year, but I mean down through the decades. I'm 58 years old, okay? 58.
Right.
I've been around five, almost six decades. Maybe consciously aware of what's going on for only the last four and a half decades. And it just seems like it doesn't seem to get any better. It just gets harder. You struggle more. We have more conflicts. We have more internal strife, you know. I mean, there's that phrase from the Constitution, and ensure domestic tranquility. Quite honestly, there's anything but. And I'm looking at the most recent election in 2018 and thinking, I don't see how, no matter which way it goes, you're going to start to establish any kind of tranquility, because people are so, they're so charged up with their being right. They're being right. And you have a chapter in your book called Politics and Being Correct. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I just think that the politicians are the one that control the country. And they are the lawmakers and the lawbreakers. And we have to make sure we have the correct people in place. And when you get in place, you got to make sure you're doing the right thing. You know, in the military, being a leader, you got to make sure you take care of your soldiers, their health, and their welfare, because if not, you'll start losing soldiers. And I've even seen generals get relieved from abusing their authority and taking advantage of the soldiers. So even when you get in those high positions, it's about doing the right thing. It's about having your soldiers, don't have them doing something that you wouldn't do. And stick to your word. Whatever you say is just as good as writing it down. So it's basically just being true to yourself. And I think military personnel, I think we make the best politicians, because we know how to handle wide world situations and crisis, and we're problem solvers. And we've been to war. We just know what it's like to take to get a mission accomplished and a mission achieved. So, you know, I've had thoughts myself of being a senator, but being an author now of The Life Is So Precious, I'm kind of being led in a new direction, in another direction. But it's just best just to do the right thing. I mean, that way you can sleep good at night. You won't have to worry about looking over your shoulder or trying to see who's going to try to get you. But it's just doing the right thing and showing people that you care. So, you know, being political and making sure it's correct, I mean, those are some very important things and words to share with each other.
Well, I know that especially in this last presidential campaign, of course, we had a war hero in John McCain, who was very outspoken from his perspective. And, you know, and there were times when he was able to work on both sides, from both sides of the aisle, and try to make things happen. But he also seemed to come across with very practical and pragmatic, if you will, very down-to-earth logical solutions. But for whatever reason, sometimes people just didn't want to listen. Now, that doesn't mean he wasn't successful, because he certainly was. But I find it, regardless of an individual member of the civilian population, regardless of their opinion about the conflict in question and the politics around it and so forth, you have these people who have made these commitments to serve. And I just found it so distasteful when I would hear such the kinds of language hurled at servicemen and women. I know there's the Golden Star families. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Yeah. And then that kind of thing. And I'm thinking, and then someone would say to me, oh, hey, come on, Richard, don't be so naive. It's just politics. It's like, wait a minute. No, I'm sorry, because you just can't do that. You know, like I said, go ahead.
I would agree. As far as John McCain, he was a terrific leader, and he was very, very confident and strong. And he rightfully so deserved everything that he did, all his accolades. Because mm-hmm. he was a very powerful man, and I really respected him. As a matter of fact, John McCain, I respect him so much because when we was in Iraq at Abu Ghraib prison, John McCain flew over to come see us, and I'll never forget this. He was getting ready to come see us, but we was under attack, so they had to divert the convoy so he would be safe. And you just got to respect a man like that, because for him to come all the way over to Iraq to see the service members, that meant so much. The word that got around that he was on his way, but they had to divert the convoy. So, but it still made all the soldiers happy because he showed the people that he cared. So I have great respect for John McCain, Senator John McCain, and he is going to be missed. But there is another John McCain going to stick up somewhere. There's another one out there.
Yeah.
Whether it's a male or a female, there's another one out there. And, you know, right now, we're still kind of dealing with the loss of him.
Yeah.
But somebody else is going to stick up. And as far as the military, I think the reason why civilians have a hard time with military personnel is because military, we have high standards. And if you don't have high standards, where's it going to lead you and how are you going to follow?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of example are you going to set? So you have to have some high standards. And standards are just to keep everything in place. And it's just to correct things and make sure it doesn't go wrong. That's the reason why we have standards. And that's where you follow. You follow the standards.
Well, so, I've tried to teach the standards of broadcasting to my peers and subordinates. And it's hard sometimes because they don't seem to understand the importance of standards. You know, and this is also an interesting observation of mine I'd like you to maybe address. In addition to the brotherhood, the family, the intimacy, if you will, that is established within the military, and again, as I said, probably more so during combat than any other time, you have a social structure. You have a social structure that is not democratic, which is really sort of an irony, but if you had a democratic system within the military, you'd lose every battle because everybody wants to do their own thing. You have to have the chain of command. You have to be willing to follow orders. You know, and that's one of the agreements that you make when you sign up, right? Is regardless of whatever the order is, if they tell me I'm supposed to jump off this cliff, do I question that or do I jump?
And it's within reason. I mean,
sure.
You're not going to have somebody that's going to do something that's going to cause harm to them or, you know, but if it's a life and death situation and you have no other choice, but you got to make that move, you know, but you want to make sure at all costs you're doing the right thing. So, you know, we do take orders and we take the oath and to defend our Constitution and also to obey the President of the United States. But you still got to know what you're doing. I mean, you can't be having people out there to get killed and make the wrong decisions. You got to really, really know what you're doing. And that comes from experience.
Yeah.
Experience is the best teacher. And it also comes from common sense.
You have a section on your website called Simple Rules. Talk to us about some of these simple rules that you have compiled on this particular page. Matter of fact, let me see if I can center one up here. We are helpers of one another. When you help someone else, you are actually helping yourself as well. No one is overlooked and no one is left out. God is still the rewarder. Whatever you do, you will receive in return.
Right. Yeah, that I wrote that piece because so many people feel like, what's in it for me? You know, a lot of people always have those feelings, those thoughts, and sometimes people verbally say it. But when you help somebody, you're actually helping yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is without, because what goes around is going to come back around. And whatever measure you set out is going to be measured unto you again. So you actually getting yourself prepared for the next level and whatever's coming your direction. So it's always good to just do what's really good in your heart, because whatever you do in your heart is going to come back. And that's what I was trying to compel and explain to the listener and the reader.
Well, I know that a phrase that I use quite often is that if I'm working with someone, if someone has hired me to do something, my philosophy is I want to make you successful, because if you're successful, then I'm successful. And maybe there is a certain little bit of altruism in there, but that's okay. You know, that's why you're doing what you're doing, because you love what you're doing, but at the same time, you want to help people. You want to serve people. You want to lift them up too.
Yeah, and also stems from just being secure within yourself. You know, I mean, what's wrong with other people shining? I mean, everybody's going to have their time to shine. You might shine a day for me supporting you, and tomorrow be my day.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to be forgotten about because I'm supporting you and helping you to get where you need to go. And that's what we need to remember. You know, we help us on one another. You know, let's help each other.
Yeah.
You know, let's love each other. Because, like I said, it comes back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it does come back.
And that's one of your because simple people, rules for life, too.
Yeah, because people never forget the last thing you did and the last thing you said. Years can pass by, but they'll never forget it if you did something good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that kind of goes to the old adage, what have you done for me lately? And actually, you just ask yourself that question, what have I done lately? It's great, all of the things you've done up to this point, but you can't stop there. You can't stop there. Interesting. Alton Pete is my guest, and we are talking about, of course, his latest work, which is entitled Life is Precious. Believe your impossible is possible. There are those in this country who were born and raised here. And there are people who came here from other countries over the centuries, the last couple of centuries, especially the turn of the 1800s to the 1900s. And the phrase on their lips was that they were going to the land of opportunity. And I have a feeling, I'm wondering if you run into this much, where you find a lot of people who were born and raised in this country, maybe generation after generation, who they don't quite get that. And they start playing the victim card, if you will, saying, well, this group did this and that group did that and this person did this. And that's why I can't seem to get up and be successful and prosperous and all of the things that, you know. These immigrants were all promised when they moved here, when they came across, say, Ellis Island, they came here for a better life. How come my life isn't better? Can you talk to us about that from your perspective?
Yeah, I run across that quite a bit. And I will say that we all have a choice to make, whether to choose to win or to lose. And what you do with your life, it's on you. And I'm reminded about how, because I'm writing in my next book called Winning with the Right Attitude. And I'm reminded how that when God told, he asked Moses, what do you have in your hand? And Moses said, thy rod. He had a rod. And God was telling him to use that rod because I'm in that rod. And then when he spoke to David and asked David, what's in your hand? David said, I got a slingshot. He said, use that slingshot because I'm in that slingshot. And that's what we need to be reminded of. Look what's in your hands, because whatever God has given us to use and the tools, it's in our hands. We don't even have to look no further or look at the things that we don't have, but look at what you do have, because we have some very powerful hands. Now, God is not going to leave us comfortless. He's not going to leave us empty. And he's not going to leave us without. So sometimes you have to look what's in your hand. Look at what you love to do. Look at your passion. Because he has not left you comfortless. And he has not left us without anything we need to make it in this life. So when you start looking at somebody else's lane instead of focusing on your own lane, you miss out on your own target. So it's important and it's vital to look at your own hands and see what you can do with your own hands, because your hands are powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. Alton, I'm very impressed by the work that you're doing now and sharing with not just our listeners, but people all across the country, if not around the world. Obviously, with your website, it is worldwide. And it's something that I know you know this already is desperately needed around the world. What kind of response are you getting from other corners of the globe?
I'm hearing some great news. I'm hearing good news. You know, I share my words everywhere I go. And I just want to, I would like to electrify and motivate this entire world. You know, that's my mission right now, is to compel everybody to start feeling good on the inside first. You know, everybody is so caught up into the outside appearance until the inward man is just is torn up, torn up from the flow up. And they wonder why they don't have any peace and any happiness and any love and any joy. You know, we're not supposed to be so easy to be discouraged. You know, even if somebody whispers something negative in your ear, flip that over and turn it into something positive. Because if you are secure within yourself, you don't have to worry about what people think of you. Because they don't determine your destination. Nobody determines your destination but you and God.
Yeah.
So you got to be secure within yourself and know who you are and know that you are worth something and you mean something.
But the only way that you can know who you are is you've got to go within. That's where you're going to find that out, right?
It's all internal, all internal. And you got to know your heart, mind, and soul. You got to know it. Know how strong you are. And another thing, too, is we all have strengths and weaknesses. People need to start taking whatever is weak and start pushing to being stronger. And once you get stronger, stay strong. Don't allow your weaknesses to make you miss out on life.
Yeah.
Everybody has strengths and weaknesses. That don't mean we bad people. You know, we human beings.
Yeah.
So allow your weakness. Oh, go ahead.
And I was just going to say, reinforce that.
Yeah, just allow your weaknesses to drive you and motivate you to being stronger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what the weaknesses are for. You know, just like when I was in warrant officer school in the Army, they focus a lot more on demerits than they do merits.
But
the merits are just as important, but it's the demerits they always focus on. They always try to focus on your shortcomings.
Yeah.
And that's just to sharpen your tools. That's all. It's just to sharpen your tools, keep your mind going, making sure you're paying attention to details that we always say. And it's just to sharpen your tools. It's not to put you down, but it's to make you better.
Yeah.
And that's what everyone in the world needs to know. It's not anything to put you down about. It's just to lift you up to be great.
Yeah.
Because how are you going to learn to be better except you learn what it's like to be worse? How are you going to learn?
Yeah. I've often said it's the details that will make you or break you. So focus on the details because it ain't the big
focus
stuff.
Focus on it.
Yeah.
It's sure not.
Speaking of focus, there's an area that we really haven't touched upon yet and I would really like to, and that is the fun part of life. Here it says, I remember when life was so much fun. Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon, come back home. I think about Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon in my own life as a kid growing up and thinking, wow, I'd love to go back there. That was, you know, Friday was done. School was over. I got another day between here and school on Monday. The Saturdays are great, you know, but we're losing our capacity, it seems, to enjoy the life that we've been given, to actually not only find joy, but have some fun in life.
Yeah, I will agree. I mean, because I remember as a kid, and I'm 51 years old, and I still love cartoons.
Me too. Thank you.
and I still eat cereal. So
here.
You ain't too old. So you know, we get better and we get more mature with age, but we still got to remember those days of just laughter and fun, watching the Three Stooges and Abbott and Costello and all those different, the Beverly Hillbillies, all those shows. I Love Lucy, they used to make us laugh back in the day, and the Brady Bunch. Those things were family-oriented episodes and sitcoms that just kept us closer together growing up. And right now, we're missing that. Because you can go to a restaurant with a family sitting down at the table, and I saw this the other day. Everybody's head is down looking at their cell phone. Nobody conversating, laughing, everybody all serious into that technology. And technology is good, but technology don't need to be everywhere we go. Sometimes we need to just put the technology down and enjoy the family, because the family is so important today. So important. So I just, when I was writing that piece in my book, I remember those days. We were just so much fun on Saturday mornings, and we used to love to watch the cartoons every Saturday morning. It was a lot of fun back in them days.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. It was indeed. And you know, and I miss those days myself. Even though when I was in high school, I was a paper boy delivering at that time. I was delivering the evening paper 6 days a week and then the Sunday morning paper. And as difficult as it was sometimes, I got to tell you, if it were still available to do, I would give up everything to be a paper boy all over again. Because of the freedom, but because right. also, most importantly, of the people I got to meet. Just in wonderful people. The tips weren't bad either, but it was the people that I got to meet and I got to know that really made it a lot of fun. And sometimes we even look at our own lives and I don't want to meet people. They're crazy. They're this, they're that, they're the other. And we, like I said, we don't have a lot of fun in our lives, and we don't have a lot of fun in our jobs. I'm one of the lucky ones that I do. I have a lot of fun in the job that I do, in the work that I do. It's more of a vocation than it is a job. And so I'm very fortunate. I adhered to my father's advice. He said, find a job you love doing because you're going to be doing it for a long time. And in my case, I've got another minimum, I'm hoping, 42 more years. I have to outlive my grandmother who lived to be 100. Wow. So, you know, we have this life, and I've used this analogy many times where there's this individual who is walking around in this beautiful meadow, blue skies, sunshine, green grass, the whole thing. They're walking around, their hands are cupped in front of them. And if you could remove your will from yourself, this person's carrying it in their hands. I just want to do God's will. I just want to do God's will. And then they toss it in the air and hoping that God will catch it. And God catches their will, and God has tears streaming down God's face. And because, my gosh, one of my creation wants to do my will. And while while God is emoting, God is compressing that individual's will down into the size of a baseball. And he hurls it back like a 90-mile-an-hour Nolan Ryan fastball, hits them square in the forehead and says, then do something with the life I gave you. You are not a puppet on a string being manipulated by forces you do not understand.
Right, right.
Talk to us about the life we've been given.
Well, the life we've been given is abundantly, and there is no limit in what we can do in this life. I even write in my book, you know, you often hear that the sky is the limit. Mm-hmm. The sky is not even the limit in what we can do in this life. And as a matter of fact, whatever you put your mind to, you can achieve it. I mean, you're going to have to go through something because it's not going to be easy, and that's because that's so that you can keep it once you get it. But I notice when you give somebody something, if they haven't earned it, they're not going to take care of it and cherish it. But when you earn something that was given to you in your life, you value that. You hold on to it for a long time. You know, I'm a first-time home buyer. I've been in my home 4 years now since I've been retired from the Army. And you better believe I take care of this home like I just got it.
Yeah, I have
to say, joy is still there.
Yeah, I know that a lot of people have the attitude, oh, it's no, I can always buy another one.
Right, right. And, but man, when you finally get it, though, you know, you look at what it took to get there.
Yeah,
you got to hold on to it, and that's what I do. I love to hold on to it. Yeah, you know.
Extraordinary story. Alton Pete, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the program and sharing with us your story, as well as Life is So Precious. Believe your impossible is possible. AltonEugenePete.com is the website, and we greatly appreciate you giving us so much time here on the program. And I have to let our listeners know, obviously, that today might be the 11th of November and the unofficial, if you will, Veterans Day, though that's the way it shows up on the calendar. Special programs on this broadcast throughout the day, and we certainly hope that people will take a listen as well as look up that one interview regarding The Welcome. It's a documentary that's been out a while. I think that it will help to open your eyes, as well as this program with Alton Pete. And Alton, should you find yourself in the Central California area here in Santa Barbara, we'd love to have you in studio because we always like to continue conversations like this. I think they're extremely important. We've got to, like I say, we've got to make that leap to the next level, if you will, so that we can make this a better place for everybody. I think that is possible. It is not impossible.
That's right, and I would be delighted to be at the studios and chop it up again with you because this has really, really been a lot of fun and a great jewel, and I greatly appreciate this opportunity. And I want to tell you thank you, because I know you didn't have to do this, but thank you.
You are more than welcome. And before we let you go, again, a reminder to our listeners, the book is entitled Life is So Precious. The website, again, is AltonEugenePete.com. No special spellings. It's all as it would be. And we'll be linked to the website as well. I also want to let our listeners know, too, that when you go to SoundCloud or you go to the player on the website, RichardDugan.com, you see the player there on the homepage, and you select an interview and you're listening away. If you go up into the upper right-hand corner of the player, there's a little grocery cart. When you click on that grocery cart, as you're listening to that interview, it takes you to the website of my guest. So if you're listening to the Alton Pete interview, click on that grocery cart up in the upper right-hand corner of the player. Boom, takes you right to Alton Eugene Pete. Alton, I've got two final questions for you. Three, actually. Three. Again, I thank you so much for giving us so much time. The first question is, who is Alton Eugene Pete?
I want to say he's a man of great integrity, and he has a good heart, and he just loves people. He's a people person.
You say that as if you know this person.
I know a little bit about him.
Good. What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
Well, in my book, Life is So Precious, I wrote also a beautiful love story about paradise and joy on a Sunday love, about this God meeting this woman. And I would like to get a movie made out of that. And when I was writing the book, that's what my intentions were, was to get a movie made out of this book, and especially those two chapters, 15 and 16.
Hmm.
So I'm looking to get a movie made, and I like to call it Life is So Precious, a very positive, romantic movie that's going to move this nation, because we really need that today. We really do.
Well, you know, ordinarily I would say that's possible, but I'm going to say it's impossible. Because then you'll turn it around and make it possible. How about that?
Well, that's what it's all about, right?
Little reverse psychology. Question number three. What is your life's purpose?
My life purpose is to, once I make it financially where I want to be in life, I want to buy people homes and put food on their table. I do it now. But I want to take it to another level. And I really want to make an impact on people's lives. And that is my purpose, to make an impact on people's lives, you know, because I'm doing very well. Why not share it? Why not give it away? It'll come back.
Yeah. And besides, you can't take it with you unless, of course, you know something we don't.
No, you can't take it with you. You didn't bring it in the world. You can't take it out.
There you go. I've often said this about my bank book. I started with zero, and I want to make sure I go out with zero. You know? You know, I don't have any kids, so I don't have anybody to give it to. So, you know, that's okay.
Right. Yeah, it's okay.
You know, and yeah. I know that there are some people who they kind of know that their end is near and they've kind of accumulated a lot of money and or things and what have you. And it's like, okay, I can't take it with me, so I'm just going to start giving it away and giving it away. And then when I reach the end, if I've got a couple of weeks left, okay, great. But I don't have to worry about it. It's in good hands with the people that I gave it to, and there you go. So I think a great sentiment in that regard. And again, Alton Pete, thank you so much for joining us here on the program, and I encourage people to go to AltonEugenePete.com so they can find out more about your story, your work, and Life is So Precious. Thanks again.
Thank you.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story. New paradigms for a new world, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Remember, believe your impossible is possible. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story. And until next time, love to love.